The sacred science. What does it mean to sanctify or consecrate a space? The word consecration is often used somewhat loosely. For most people, it denotes a series of rituals that offers, at best, beauty and poetry of our lives, but performs no real useful function. Most believe it is mere mumbo-jumbo meant to obfuscate the spiritual process and exploit a fearful and gullible majority. It is time to discard this superficial understanding and look deeper. If you transform mud into food, we call this agriculture. If you make food into flesh and bone, we call this digestion. If you make flesh into mud, we call this cremation. If you make this flesh or even a stone or empty space into a higher possibility, this is consecration. Consecration is a live process. The Sanskrit word for it is pratishta. As we have discussed earlier, modern science today tells us that everything is the same energy manifesting itself in a million different ways. If that is so, what you call the divine, what you call a stone, what you call a man or a woman, or a demon, are all the same energy functioning in different ways. If you have the necessary technology, you can make the simple space around you into a divine exuberance. You can just take a piece of rock and make it into a god or a goddess. This is the phenomena of consecration. An enormous amount of knowledge about consecration has been perpetuated across generations since ancient times, particularly in India. This is because, regardless of how good your life is or how long you live, at some point the fundamental human longing to get in touch with the source of creation will invariably assert itself. If the possibility to access these deeper dimensions is not created and made available to every individual who seeks, then that society has failed to provide authentic well-being for its citizens. It is because of this awareness that the Indian culture built numerous temples on every street. The idea was not to create temples that were in competition with one another. The idea was simply that no one should live in a space that is not consecrated. It is tremendous good fortune for a human being to live in a consecrated space. When you do, the very way you live becomes distinctly different. You may ask, "Can't I live without it?" You can. If you know how to make your very body into a temple, going to the temple is not so significant. Yes, you can consecrate your own body, but the question is, are you able to keep it that way? All spiritual initiations have been aimed at consecrating this very flesh into a temple-like space. After that, all that is needed is maintenance. Doing a spiritual practice every day is one way of trying to maintain the human system in a high state of vibrancy after an initiation. I have given powerful consecrations to people at various times, sometimes formally, sometimes informally. To consecrate an inanimate object, a rock, for example, costs an enormous amount of life. Making human beings into living temples is much more inexpensive and eco-friendly. And besides, they are mobile. There are many advantages, but the problem is human beings have to dedicate a certain amount of time, energy, and focus to maintenance. Otherwise, it will not work. When people in the world are too distracted and unwilling to make themselves into living temples, building stone temples becomes a necessity. The basic purpose of building a temple is to benefit the majority of people who have no spiritual practice in their lives. If one can do some spiritual practice in such a consecrated space, it is doubly beneficial, particularly for those who do not know how to make their own body into a temple. The outer temple is invaluable. Consecration or pratishta is done in various ways, but generally by using rituals, mantras, sounds, forms, and various other ingredients. Constant maintenance is required. The rituals in the temples are not for your sake. They are to keep the deity or energy form alive. What is a deity? A deity is a tool for a specific purpose to achieve fulfillment in different aspects of life. In fact, the traditional word for a deity is yantra, which literally translates as a machine or a working energy form. Traditional wisdom has always advised people against keeping stone idols at home. If you keep them, you must maintain them every day with the right kind of processes. If a deity is consecrated through mantras, and if the necessary maintenance does not happen on a daily basis, the deity becomes a withdrawing energy and can cause immense harm to people who live in the vicinity. Unfortunately, many temples have become like this because of improper maintenance by people who do not know how to keep them alive. Prana pratishta is different in that it uses your own life energies to consecrate something. When you consecrate a form in this way, it does not need any maintenance. It is quite literally forever. When I fulfilled my mission, which was the consecration of the Dhyanalinga, a subtle energy form with all chakras operating at their optimal capacity at the Isha Yoga Center in Coimbatore, in southern India, in the year 1999. It was through prana pratishta. This is why there are no rituals in the shrine. None is required. Dhyanalinga does not need any maintenance because its vibrancy will never fluctuate. Even if you take away the stone part of the structure, it will remain the same. Irrespective of physical changes that may happen over time, the energy form will not perish. This is because the real form is made of a non-physical dimension. It is indestructible. The Indian temples were never places of prayer. The tradition was that you had a shower first thing in the morning and went directly to the temple, sat there for a while, and only then began your day. The temple was like a public battery charging space. Most people have forgotten this nowadays. They just go to the temples, ask for something, bum bounce on the temple floor, and then leave. This is quite pointless. The idea is to sit and imbibe the energies of the place. At the Dhyanalinga Yogic Temple in Coimbatore, you are not required to believe in anything to reap its benefits. You are not required to pray or make any ritual offering. You are encouraged just to close your eyes and be in the space for some time. If you were to try it for yourself, you would discover that it is a tremendous experience. Dhyanalinga is in the highest level of intensity that any form can be. Even if those who do not know anything about meditation and come and sit there, they become meditative by their own nature. This is the kind of remarkable tool it is. If I were given the necessary support and opportunity, I would like to consecrate the whole planet. This is what I am good at, turning thin air into very powerful, vibrant space, turning a piece of metal or stone into a divine reverberation. It is my dream that someday all of humanity should live in a consecrated environment. Your home should be consecrated, your street should be consecrated, your office should be consecrated, all places where you spend your time should be consecrated. When you live in such a space, your evolution need not stick to Darwinian scale. you can simply leapfrog ahead to a state of ultimate well-being and freedom. In India, most ancient temples were built for Shiva or that which is not. There are thousands of Shiva temples in the country, and most of them do not have any idol as such. They generally have a representative form, a linga. The word linga means the form. When creation began to happen, or when the unmanifest became manifest, the first form that it assumed was that of an ellipsoid, or a three-dimensional ellipse, which is what we call a linga. It started as an ellipsoid and then took on many shapes and forms. If you go into deep states of meditativeness, you will find that before a point of absolute dissolution, once again the energy takes on the form of a linga. Modern cosmologists have identified that the core of every galaxy is always an ellipsoid. So generally in yoga, the linga is considered to be the perfect and fundamental form in existence. It is the first form and the final form. In the space between, creation takes place. What lies beyond is that which is not, or Shiva. So, the linga form is actually an opening in the fabric of creation. For physical creation, the front door is a linga, and the back door is a linga. This makes the temple an opening in the fabric of the physical. You could fall right through it and go beyond. This is what makes it such a tremendous possibility.